very much, Professor Durin. First, I want to thank also the organization team for the possibility to join today's conference. As already mentioned before, I also want to talk about the topic of archaeofuturism, accelerationism, and archaeomodernity. And therefore, I want to present the example of Guillaume Fay, and I want to somehow contextualize him and show his thinking also from the perspective of Nomarchia. So I want today to discuss the philosophical current, which I think we should not adapt, but nevertheless, it got more and more popular also amongst the populist right in Europe. It's the idea of archaeofuturism, and this term was coined by the French renegade of the Nouvelle Droite, Guillaume Fay, in 1998. What does archaeofuturism want, and how we can define it in the current philosophical context? First, by this term, Fay wants to unite two opposing concepts. On the one hand, there is the archaic, capable to create a new beginning, and futurism, which actually wants to storm into the future and leave behind all the boundaries which are put into his way, which also goes for the boundaries of modernity and humanism. At this point, it's noteworthy that Fay is not only referring positively to the Descartesian rationality and the idea of man as a clockwork, but he also praises technology and the concept of progress, but in a very special fashion. What is elementary to this concept is the fact that progress is happening too slow in the eyes of Guillaume Fay, and it also has to respect too many boundaries. Therefore, he wants to accelerate it and cleanse European civilization from all the things he regards as harmful tradition. But similar to the concept of accelerationism, Fay thinks he can surmount modernity by going to its very end. Instead of simple progress, he wants movement, he wants accelerationism, but in fact, his concept only serves the very goal of the modern age he wants to overcome. In the end, no revolt against the modern world is taking place. Being false victim to Machenschaft, the first for progress in Fay's thinking, makes the preservation of tradition impossible. As many of you may already guess, his worldview includes cloning, chimeras, genetic manipulation, and everything he deems worthwhile in order to defend the global north against the supposed attack of the global south. Therefore, his subject is not Dasein, but the global north, and furthermore, the postmodern West, which in his eyes must be defended at all costs. It is no wonder that Fay doesn't regard America as the main enemy, but even as an ally in the apocalyptic battle he envisions between the global North and the global South. The latter he identifies in his writings with Islam. As a consequence of his critique on Western universalism, comes short in rejecting only certain aspects of postmodernity, like political correctness, whereas he embraces universalism in his idea of Western supremacy over the rest of the world. Therefore, we cannot find a concept of multipolarity, for example, in his ideas. Instead, we find the fanatical Western racism, as Alain de Benoist highlighted. Despite he doesn't want to be called a postmodernist, Guillaume Fay shares postmodernity's belief that modernity as such is neither scientific nor progressive enough. The nearly total absence of transcendence in his concept is no coincidence either. When he's talking about religion, he condemns Christianity and praises the New Age cults and pleads for a rebirth of paganism, which he only vaguely defines. Standing in the tradition of libidinous materialism, man has no offer, but acts as Prometheus. The study of his writings is insofar worth the effort as it shows us how not to answer postmodernity, in my view. Instead of starting the search for the radical self, Feist looking for the radical object. The reason for his wrong turn could maybe originate in his treatment as equivalent to the logos of Cybele and the logos of Dionysus. But as Professor Dugin has already highlighted in his Nomachia, Cybele and Dionysus are radically different, since there is a stark contrast between the dramatic nocturne and the mystical nocturne. Therefore, Feist doesn't plead for a rediscovery of the Apollonian and Dionysian tradition in philosophy, but rather for an absolutization of the will to power. His philosophy is very Titanic in character, and therefore the Titanic character of his undertaking is not only highlighted in the borderless hybris of his concepts, but also in his superhuman efforts aiming at the replacement of man by artificial entities. In total, one can portray Phi as a representative of some kind of right-wing postmodernity, a transhumanist, and a somehow tragic example of a Faustian spirit who fell victim to his own desires. Thank you very much for your attention.